Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And then suddenly there was something very wrong in the creation that God had created good. The snake, the fruit, the woman, the man, nakedness, fear, famine, sweat, toil, dead animals, and a flaming sword. An infection began to spread from our first parents' rebellion, so that soon there were people who could not see and people who could not hear, cripples and paralytics laying by city gates begging for alms. And for the first time, man heard the words, "You are dust, and to dust you shall return." It became so bad and so painful that the faithful children of Adam and Eve, who believed the promise that had been given to their parents, began to cry out to God for mercy. And God heard their cry. He sent prophets to speak to them a word of hope about their coming Savior. "In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and the darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exalt in the Holy One of Israel." In that day when the promise of God is being fulfilled, the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute shall sing. And all who believed the promise of the Savior that God had given to Adam and Eve listened to the word of the prophets, and they hoped for the healing and restoration of God's creation that he had promised. But many people lived and died and did not see the fulfillment of the promise of a Savior. Many became impatient with the prophets and with God, and they killed the messengers that were sent to them. They ignored the commands that the Lord had given, and they forgot about the promise of the Savior. Then, at just the right time, the day finally came, and the light broke forth into the darkness. The promised Savior came into his creation. Though the Pharisees and the leaders of the Jews had kept a watchful eye on this one who was born in scandal and announced as the King of the Jews, though they heard him teach and preach in the temple and had seen him heal the sick and restore the broken, they could not see with their eyes or believe with their hearts that he was the fulfillment of the prophecies, that he was the very promised Messiah of God. Now, as Jesus has left their midst and travels the dangerous road from the Decapolis to the Sea of Galilee, where he has healed many before, where he has already driven out demons, a man whose flesh is in bondage because of Adam and Eve's sin is brought out to him. He was deaf and could not speak. And the people who brought him begged Jesus to make him well. For they saw in this traveling miracle worker in their midst one who fit that pattern of hope, one who looked like the prophets had said he would look. Wherever Jesus went, the eyes of the blind were open, the deaf were made to hear, the lame were given to walk, the sick were healed, and the dead were raised. It will be no different with this man. Jesus takes him off to the side by himself. He gives him his full and undivided attention and then communicates with him in a way that he can understand. He puts his fingers in the man's ears so he knows that there is something wrong and he is going to fix it. And after spitting, he touches the man's tongue, which does not work, and says, "It will be made whole." He looks up to heaven so that the man will know exactly where this healing gift has come from. And then, just as in the creation of the world, Jesus speaks and something happens. "Ephphatha, be opened." Jesus opens his mouth and opens the man's ears and looses his tongue. Jesus makes him whole as his holy flesh and healing word touch the man's ears that cannot hear, and as they touch the man's tongue that cannot speak, and they are opened, loosed, freed. Jesus takes this man's sickness into himself. He takes his imperfection, his flaw, his sin. He gives the man health and strength and makes him whole and removes his sins and makes him holy. The deaf shall hear and the mute shall speak in that great and glorious day of the Lord. But it wasn't just his physical hearing and speaking that Jesus restored. He not only opened the outer ears of the flesh, but the inner ears of faith. He loosed the man's tongue, not so that it could wag, but so that he could confess Jesus Christ as Lord and God, so that he could tell others what God had done for him. But then come the words in the text from Jesus: tell no one what has happened to you. So if Jesus loosed the man's tongue to confess, then why does he command him and his friends to keep silent about what has happened? Because no one can yet understand the true meaning of this miracle until a greater miracle of healing and restoration has taken place on a cross and through a tomb outside of Jerusalem. Jesus heals this deaf and mute man only as a foretaste of his passion, of the true healing that is to come when the Creator of heaven and earth sheds his own perfect blood for his creation. On that day, a new creation dawns on the first day of the week as Jesus' resurrected body burst forth from the grave as a perfect picture or a perfect specimen of God's restored humanity. Unfortunately, you know too well that we are not naturally born into this restored humanity. We are born in Adam's sin, inherited from our own fathers. We are born with a heart that is deaf, with ears that are stopped up to the truth, with tongues that cannot confess Jesus Christ as Lord and God. While we don't often think of our heart as that organ of our body which is able to hear, the Bible often describes our heart in just that way. King Solomon prayed not for riches or long life or for revenge, but he prayed for wisdom. He prayed, "Therefore give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people." Literally, that text says, "Give to your servant a hearing heart." Solomon wanted a heart that was not stopped up with sin, that could hear the word of God and rejoice in it. But we are not born that way. We are not born desiring a hearing heart. And the devil wants to keep it that way. He does what he can with his limited power to keep God's gracious word from ever entering into our ears and then converting our heart. He wants to keep our ears deaf, our tongue dumb, our eyes blind. He wants our feet to stray from the truth. And like that man on the road that was brought to Jesus who couldn't fix himself, neither can you fix these things that are wrong with you. No medication, no doctor can change your condition. The only solution for you, just as it was the only solution for that man, is that you must be born again with a new heart. The Lord of creation must come to you and draw you away from the crowd and through the hand of his called and ordained servant drown your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord of creation must come and place his name upon you, the sign of his holy cross, and give you his righteousness and wholeness upon your forehead and in your heart. He must come and take your ailments and your sins and make you whole and holy. And that is exactly what he has done. By his blood shed, you are healed. You have been redeemed and made new. Yes, your sin still clings to your sinful flesh. The devil continues his attacks. The world still presses in on you. Your sicknesses, diseases, and pains continue to be a present reality. And so we keep on praying as we just prayed in our opening hymn. Lord, open now my heart to hear, and through your word to me draw near. Preserve that word in purity, that I your child and heir may be. Your word it is that heals my heart, that makes me whole in every part. Your word of joy within me sings, true peace and blessedness it brings. Even though it is often difficult to discern, and though it may not feel at all as if you have been made new and right, in holy baptism you were restored by the Creator's own touch. You were made whole. You were made a new creation in spite of how you look to the world, even in spite of how you may feel. Your body has been washed clean by water connected to God's holy word. Your ears of faith have been opened to hear, and your lips have been opened to confess. Your eyes of faith have seen the salvation that God has prepared for you in Christ Jesus, in his body given and his blood shed for your sins. Your sins have been forgiven in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Just as that man on the side of the road was given to hear and to speak, so you too have been made whole. The very same blood that you are about to receive in the holy meal set at this altar was meant for broken, sinful people just like you. People whose lives have been shattered. People whose lives are filled with pain. Come then, faithful children of God, come eat and receive in this holy meal the strength and healing in your body and soul that Christ desires to give. And then with your blood-stained lips, leave this place. With your hearing heart, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and God, and that his creation is good and right, and tell what he has done for you. And those who heard and saw what Jesus did were astonished beyond measure, saying, he has done all things well. He makes both the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. And there was evening and there was morning, the eighth day, the day of God's new creation in Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.